You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Oddscast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC on ESPN Plus 14 event, which takes place in Montevideo, Uruguay. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, Kyle Marley's premium bets for UFC on ESPN 5 won 10.83 units overall after going 3-0 with a clean sweep. Kyle has his bets and fantasy MMA picks available now on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Back to the present, UFC on ESPN Plus 14 features a 13-fight card in total and will be aired exclusively on ESPN Plus this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on the preliminary card on ESPN Plus is a women's flyweight contest between Pollyanna Viana, who is 10-3, and Veronica Macedo, who is 5-3-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
As always, a couple quick shout-outs before we get rolling here. Make sure you guys head over to betdsi.eu and check out the sportsbook. They're our official podcast sponsor for the Oddscast. BetDSI.eu is where it's at, so make sure you guys head over there and give them some love. And as always, check out Big Marley 3's premium betting picks that are available on MMAoddsbreaker.com on our premium picks tab. The guy's killing it. He won over 10 units last event. He's up over 260 units the last 15 months alone. The guy is awesome. Make sure you don't miss out and buy his plays for this weekend's card. They're available right now. So head over to MMAoddsbreaker.com, click on our premium picks tab, and check out Big Marley 3's premium picks. Now, getting in right into this fight now, Viana opened up minus 170. Macedo coming back at plus 130 and looking over at the current betting lines right now. Line did flip at BetDSI. We have Macedo as minus 130 favorite right now. The comeback on Viana at plus 110. So line margins have tightened up. And again, early action did come in on Macedo. I get it. I understand it. I mean, Macedo, if you're looking at her UFC resume, not really that impressive that much. I mean, if you look deeper and see how she performed in those fights and against the competition level that she has performed against, I think she's actually better probably than most people are giving her credit for. But there's definitely some flaws in her game, and a lot of it's based on the ground and some of her performances. I mean, that's kind of what cost her more than anything else. Macedo, of course, has that striking background. I think she's physically strong. She fights at flyweight, of course, at 125 pounds, where Viana's actually taking this fight on short notice. She's stepping up to flyweight, normally fights, obviously, at strawweight. So, I mean, she's going to be a little bit taller than Macedo, have a little bit of reach, but physically speaking, she should probably be at a little bit of a disadvantage. Macedo's pretty strong. Macedo, like I said, I think she's a little bit underrated here. So if she could keep the fight upright, I think she could do some serious damage. Or if she gets top position on the ground, the wrestling's going to be interesting here. I think Macedo probably has an edge in that department and might get top position. But the problem is she's going to have to be very cautious. And if anything, Viana is definitely the more well-rounded fighter still at this point of their careers. And I think she's more capable of catching something, even a submission, if she's off her back. So that's the problem here. I think Macedo is going to be doing relatively well back and forth in this fight. She might even be winning. If it hits the scorecards, I think it's going to be a really competitive type of fight. But I think the problem here in trusting her is honestly if she does commit that mistake, because even though she's improved and I think this is a fight kind of catered for her to win, I still lean a little bit more towards Viana because I do think she's a more complete fighter and this should be a pretty competitive fight, but she has the finishing ability here and the edge to do that. So my pick is Viana in what should be a very close fight, but this is a tough one, honestly, for me to bet.
Yeah, Macedo actually debuted in the UFC at bantamweight and Viana was a strawweight, and now they're kind of meeting in the middle, although Macedo has fought at flyweight a couple times now. But Macedo just hasn't been able to get things going so far. One of her biggest issues has been takedown defense, and I think that that could really be what causes her to lose this fight, because Viana is okay on the feet, but she's probably outclassed on the feet by Macedo, and on the ground, Viana is very dangerous. I mean, she was a strawweight champion, or the strawweight champion for Jungle Fight. She was able to get a submission in her UFC debut, and she's a dangerous fighter, but that's really only when she's in her realm. and she wasn't able to really do that against Aldrich and Seifers. But against Macedo, I think she can, because Macedo's takedown defense is that bad. And if Viana can get her ground game going, I think that she can win this fight for sure. Macedo is, I would say, mildly dangerous on the feet. She's game, and she has shown some improvement in the UFC so far. But Viana is actually going to be a little bit longer and taller than her, even at flyweight, even though she's a former strawweight and Macedo debuted at 135. So I think Macedo's takedown defense will be her Achilles heel again this time, and I think Viana gets the ground game going and gets the win. Now, moving up to the lightweight division, we have Alex da Silva, who is 20-2, taking on Rodrigo Vargas, who is 11-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Da Silva opened -245, the comeback on Vargas +175, and right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI is -286 on Da Silva, Vargas at +237. So line margins have tightened up, more action coming in Da Silva's way. I get that as well. I mean, this should be a competitive fight, let me tell you, because both these guys definitely have some skill. I think across the board, they're both well-rounded. They both have some power in the feet. They both have capabilities to finish you there, and they both have capabilities finishing on the ground as well. But the problem is they both also have some developmental skills defensively that they have to continue to improve on, and they're both flawed a little bit too. So this is kind of a dangerous fight, even at the betting window here. But obviously, Da Silva being a high favorite, the majority of the betting public out there believes he should get the job done. I think there's a much higher ceiling for him as well. And I think he's more technically sound overall as a whole. But Vargas, he's a strong fighter. He's got that athletic frame. I mean, he's definitely a good athlete overall. He hits with a lot of power. He's got some decent wrestling. He's not bad on the ground. But I think, like I said, overall, Da Silva, I think even on the feet, is going to be a little bit faster than me. I think he can be – he mixes things up a little bit more. I think he could probably snipe him off a little bit as the fight progresses. And I think on the ground, he's a little bit more technically sound as well. So Da Silva had – a tough MMA debut, obviously, and he was looking pretty good in that fight before, you know, the table turned pretty quickly and he got submitted. But overall, his submission defense, I think, is better than what it showed in his debut. And I think that he's going to show that more so than anything else here in this fight against Vargas. So I wish I could see a little bit more on Vargas. There's not a whole lot out there, but from what we've seen, like I said, he's pretty much a powerhouse and he's a threat in all areas. I just think defensively speaking, he's probably the more flawed fighter of the two. And I do think Da Silva has more upside. So this is another difficult for me to bet. Honestly, I'm staying away from it personally. I cannot lay the chalk, especially at almost 3-1 when both these guys are that flawed. So to me right now at the betting window, if you're going to bet this fight, you can't lay it. It's a dog or pass situation. But for me, I'm going to pass overall. So not a confident pick, but I'm going to go to Silva again. He does have a higher upside. So I like what I see from him. He's only 23 years old, whereas Vargas is 33 years old. So I think Da Silva, he can address some of those flaws that I'm talking about. And this kid could be really legit in the future. And he's kind of on his way. So I do like the upside. I do like what I see from Da Silva, and I am going to pick him to win this fight.
Yeah. Da Silva is a dangerous guy. And, I think he just ran into somebody a little bit too powerful in terms of getting controlled in that UFC debut. But while Vargas is dangerous, I mean, he's not even close, I think, to Yakovlev's ability overall. And Da Silva, I just think he's a well-rounded, talented guy. I mean, you look at his 20 wins, and they're all finishes, 13 knockouts, 7 submissions. I mean, that's impressive. This guy's very dangerous just about everywhere. So I think Vargas he's in for a big shock here, because even though he's coming off of an impressive knockout victory of Mike De La Torre, UFC bet, I think that Da Silva's going to be too much for him. Da Silva, I think, is going to be a little bit more technically sound on the feet. I think Da Silva is going to be a little bit better on the ground. And while Vargas is powerful and he does have that going for him, and if he connects with something nasty, that could turn the tide of this fight. But unless he does, I think Da Silva can win by decision. I think Da Silva can knock him out. I think Da Silva might be able to submit him. I just think Da Silva has too many ways to win here, so I'm going to pick him to win. Now, dropping down to the bantamweight division, we have Geraldo de Freitas, who is 12-4, taking on Chris Gutierrez, who is 13-3-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Gutierrez opened -190, the comeback on De Freitas at +150. Right now over at BetDSI, we're seeing De Freitas as a favorite, -141, the comeback on Gutierrez at +119. So line margins have tightened up. Early action coming in on De Freitas, flip the line. a lot of action going his way, of course. And now we're going to see some action coming back on Gutierrez, because this is another really good fight. I mean, this is another fight that a lot of fans are probably looking forward to, because it should be nothing but fireworks back and forth. I mean, Gutierrez has a lot of good experience, solid experience, even before he came into the UFC. I mean, we've seen that from him. And I think on the feet especially is where he excels, obviously. He's fast. He's got really good striking skill. He's got that knockout power. He's got precision. He's got a good takedown defensive game overall, and overall ground awareness as well. But that's a problem with this fight. I think De Freitas is just a little bit more well-rounded. Even though Gutierrez is a heck of a striker, and I think he can get most fits at 135 pounds on the feet, I think that his takedown defense in most cases comes through, but I'm not sure if it's going to hold up against De Freitas, because De Freitas is a little bit more complete. We're in the aspect of things where I think he can actually hang with Gutierrez on the feet. He can have some success with Gutierrez on the feet, actually. De Freitas is a pretty good striker, probably underrated in that realm. But what it comes down to me is De Freitas can mix things up. He can chain everything together and get some takedowns, and then maybe score, obviously, some points on the ground, or possibly get in position to end this fight on the ground as well, because De Freitas can win this fight by submission if he does get position on the ground over Gutierrez. But if he doesn't do that, if he can't submit Gutierrez, I think still he's going to be pushing the higher pace overall with closing that distance and, again, looking for those takedowns and probably scoring, even if he can't control that way. But I do think the ground advantage is kind of what differentiates these guys. I think the early action came in on De Freitas because of that as well. If you're looking at his resume, I mean, both these guys, again, have four losses on it. So you're looking at them and you're thinking they are flawed, and they kind of are at times. But at the same time, I think De Freitas has kind of closed those gaps, and he's gotten more, I think, more improved as a whole overall. And I think he's never been better at this point of his career, where I think Gutierrez could still get a little bit better. So I think right now Freitas is finding his rhythm, and it's his fight to win or lose. And I'm going to pick him to win. And I understand why they actually came in that way, because like I said, even at, honestly, right now where the line sits across the Dombes screen, I'm looking at there's minus 130s, 140s. De Freitas is probably a little bit of the side here still at the current price, because I do think his advantages will probably come into play, and it'll be clear enough for him to get the win here. So slight lean towards De Freitas, even at the current price. And that's my pick to win this fight.
And I'm right with you on this one. Gutierrez is a very dangerous striker. He's got some good power. Recorded a dominant decision in his last bout against Ryan McDonald in the UFC. But, man, I just think historically he's had a lot of trouble with good wrestlers. And De Freitas is a very dangerous wrestler. I mean, this guy took on a good ground fighter in Felipe Calares at UFC in Fortaleza, and De Freitas pretty much controlled him the whole time. And, you know, this is a guy, and what really impressed me was he did that at 145 pounds. So now he's dropping down to 135, and he's just going to be that much more dangerous with his ground game, I feel like, because, I mean, if he could do that at 145, I think at 135 he'll have even more success. So unless Gutierrez really clips him on the way in with a brutal knee to the face, like Jorge Masvidal, or an elbow or something, just something real nasty on the way in, I think it's going to be De Freitas' fight to lose. I mean, all he's got to do is get inside, drag this to the floor, and he should be in control the rest of the way. So I just don't see Gutierrez having an answer to that. So I'm going to pick De Freitas to win. I think he just controls this from minute one to minute 15, unless he gets a finish along the way. But I think the most likely outcome is a relatively one-sided unanimous decision, with De Freitas being in top position for over 10 minutes. So De Freitas is going to be my pick. Now, dropping down to the flyweight division, we have Raulian Paiva, who is 18-2, taking on Rogério Bontorin, who is 15-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Bontorin opened minus 135, the comeback on Paiva at minus 105. And right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI is a pick of minus 109 for Bontorin, minus 110 for Paiva. So more action coming Paiva's way. But again, across the Donbass market and screen, looks like it's basically about a pick-em fight across the board out there. So we're going to see some back and forth action. We're going to see the line flip a little bit. One guy's going to become a little bit of a heavier favorite, but it'll stay around this pick 'em type of price, because it's a great fight. Another one. I mean, this is a well-matched card from top to bottom. Again, the UFC's done a really good job, and I think this card's going to deliver, honestly, as far as action goes, and this fight should as well. I mean, both these guys are very talented. I'm looking forward to this fight. I mean, talk about skill. I think Bontorin is overall, he's a little bit more of the well-rounded fighter, where I'm saying because I think he obviously excels at the ground more so than anything else. He's got some good wrestling, surprisingly good wrestling. I think he's gotten to the point where he can definitely hang and get the takedowns in the wrestling realm, you know, for this weight class over most. So that's a pretty solid thing for him, because complement that with his jiu-jitsu pedigree. I mean, this guy's a tough out, especially in the ground, but his stand-up game's really not that bad. He's getting better. He's got some power. He mixes things up well. He's a threat even on the feet. So I think that's where Paeva is going to have a little bit of advantage overall, should be on the feet, but I think this is going to be kind of a fight that goes back and forth. Mkhitaryan's going to actually have a lot of success, I think, in his own right, even though a lot of people are expecting him to only have success more so, I think, on the ground. I think it's going to be pretty competitive because both these guys are hittable and both these guys are effective with their striking. So this should be fun to watch even on the feet. But I think the difference here, more than anything else, Paeva is very tough to take down, very tough to control. But I think that's what's going to come into play here. Mkhitaryan is going to be the one that is able to probably push the pace, get some takedowns along the way. Even if he can't hop on his back and get that submission, he's going to be the one, I think, that is going to be the one that's kind of dictating the tempo of the fight and scoring with some of those takedowns and some of those scrambling ability. With the fight being as competitive as it is back and forth, I think that's going to be the difference if it does hit the scorecards. If it doesn't, I think there's more than a good chance that if Mkhitaryan gets his fight to the ground, he could possibly submit Paeva before it hits the scorecards as well. So for me, even though it's a competitive pick-em type of fight, and I do respect Paeva, I love where he's coming from. I think he's getting better. And man, the guy is just really a highlight reel to watch fight. I mean, he's very exciting, and you're never going to be let down watching this guy compete. But I just think Mkhitaryan is going to be a little bit too much for him, so he's going to be my pick to win. And where the betting line is, obviously, right now, I think there is a little bit of value his way as well.
This should be a really fun fight between a pair of very talented flyweights. And honestly, the big difference between them is clearly Mkhitaryan is the better ground fighter. Paeva is the better stand-up fighter. Paeva, though, you know, he did run into a little bit of trouble his last fight because he took on an equally talented stand-up fighter in Kai Kara France in Australia that ended up losing a very close decision. But in Mkhitaryan, he's taken on somebody that, you know, really wants to get this fight to the ground. Mkhitaryan has 11 submission wins. 8 of them are rear naked chokes. So, I mean, this guy clearly, he wants to get you on the ground. He wants to take your back. He wants to tap you out. And Paeva actually does have some pretty decent takedown defense. And he's done a decent job of getting back to his feet, even if he does get taken down. So really, if Paeva can thwart Bontorin's ground attack and his takedowns, I think Paeva's going to be in a really good position here. Because Mkhitaryan, while he is a decent striker, I don't think he's really at that same level as Paeva. So, this fight really is going to boil down to whether or not Mkhitaryan can get things going on the ground. Because, yes, Mkhitaryan is the more well-rounded fighter because he's decent on the feet and very good on the ground. And Paeva's really, mostly just really good on the feet. I think that Paeva, the fact that he is much better on the feet and has that really good takedown defense and ability to get up is going to be to his advantage. I don't think Mkhitaryan can win rounds with his takedowns unless he is very aggressive and, you know, tries to hop on his back immediately and, or just advance to a dominant position during a scramble and is able to keep it. I think Paeva is going to be able to shake him off and get back to his feet for the most part. And if he does that, I think he's going to be in a position to steal one here because Mkhitaryan definitely is getting the rub a little bit because of the quality split decision victory he had in his last fight against Babulatov and Paeva coming off the loss. But, I mean, they were both very close decisions against two very quality opponents. So I think that, you know, this fight's a lot closer than people are giving it credit for. I think that people think Mkhitaryan has the better shot, but I actually think it's going to go to Paeva. I think he does keep it upright for the most part, and he outpoints his way to a close decision victory. So Paeva is going to be my pick. Now, dropping down to the strawweight division, we have Tisha Torres, who is 10-4, taking on Marina Rodriguez, who is 11-0-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Torres open minus 155, Rodriguez plus 115. And right now over at BetDSI, we are seeing Torres minus 161, Rodriguez plus 132. So line margins have tightened up again. A little bit more action coming in Torres' way. Another fight that's been bouncing back and forth a little bit as far as line movement goes. It was a little bit lower. Now we're seeing Tornado get bet up a little bit in Torres. So not surprising. I mean, this is definitely the biggest test of Rodriguez's career, and I'm saying that, and she's actually fought a couple of decent fighters in the UFC thus far already. I realize that, but I think why I'm saying that is because she's basically fought Aguilar, who is an aging vet that, I mean, at one time was definitely one of the best female fighters on the planet, no doubt about it, but she's a declining fighter. And then Marcos, a couple fights back, Marcos is kind of spotty for me. I think this is good, even though Marcos is kind of on that – typically speaking, a lot of people put her on the same kind of tier as Torres. I think Torres is a little bit of a different beast. So this is going to be by far the fight, the toughest fight Rodriguez has ever had to face here. And Torres, the toughest fighter, because Torres in her own right, I mean, she needs a win. It's a must win. And she's kind of the gatekeeper of this division right now. She's coming off three straight losses, but to the top tier, the top of the division, two former champions and a person obviously that's competing in Zhang for the championship next. So, I mean, Torres is a heck of a gatekeeper to get through. And I don't know if Rodriguez is going to be able to do that. She has some advantages in this fight. Obviously, her length is one of them. She has a really good clinch game. I like the way she strikes. She utilizes that length pretty well in most cases. She's tough. She's got decent takedown defense overall. But I think Torres, that speed and that power, and then her basically having basically a step down in this fight. I mean, she's faced the best there is to face. So for Rodriguez, even though she has some skill and she can present some problems, especially with the length of striking that she has, I think Torres isn't going to be overwhelmed at all. I think she's going to be the one pushing the higher pace. She's going to be kind of the bully in this fight. Her speed and power is going to kind of make up the difference here. If she gets to the ground, she's going to be on top and have top position and probably utilize her strength there as well. Because in this fight, I think she does have a little bit of an edge, obviously, on the ground there too. So I think this is a fight for Torres to kind of bounce back and get a quality win. Again, it's set up kind of for Rodriguez maybe to get the win and kind of keep on climbing towards that title shot, but I don't think she's going to get through this gate. I think Torres is going to just be too much for her to handle, and I think, again, it'll be a competitive fight, and Rodriguez is going to perform respectively, but I think it is Torres' fight to win or lose, so I'm going to pick her. Now, at the betting window, as the line keeps climbing, you got to be cautious because I think a lot of the high-level female fights are really close when it hit the scorecards, so obviously if it does hit the cards, it'll be competitive, but it depends on where you can find the line. Even right now where it's at, I think there might be a little bit of value still because I'm looking at the Donbass screen, and we're still seeing some 150s out there for Torres. So depending on where you can line shop, if it gets over 2-1, obviously stay away from it, or up towards 2-1, I don't think you're going to find some value, but where it's hovering at right now, there might still be a little bit of value left on Torres.
And I would say it's a little unfair to call Torres a gatekeeper because, you look at who she's lost to, and it's the champions. I mean, she lost to Nama Yunus. She split two fights with Nama Yunus. She lost to Andrade. She lost to Young Jacek. Back on The Ultimate Fighter, she lost to Esparza, who went on to become champ. So every champ at 115 she's lost to, and most recently she lost to Zhang, who's now fighting for the title. So I mean, the best of the best of the best have been able to beat her. But, I mean, she does have quality wins. I mean, she beat Rose once. The second Rose fight could have gone either way. She beat Michelle Waterson. So, she's been in there and done a good job. It's just, I would say against – in this fight, I think Torres is going to be in a good place. Even though Marina Rodriguez is taller and longer and I would say has a power advantage – the difference is speed. Torres is so much faster. I think Torres can dart in and out and land effective shots against her. I think Torres, as Nick mentioned, has the ground game advantage. That's something that Torres worked on a lot after she kind of got exposed on The Ultimate Fighter, and she added some good takedown defense and then obviously added some offensive takedowns as well. So I think she could take Rodriguez down and beat her up on the canvas. I think yeah, Rodriguez does have a decent jab and some kicks and some power, but I don't think that she'll be able to work combinations against Torres because Torres will just be darting in and out, moving laterally. I mean, she's a very quick fighter, and you have to be able to match her speed. And really, the only people that are able to do that have been the champion-level fighters. And I've been impressed by Rodriguez so far, but I don't think she's a champion-level fighter. I just think she's a little too slow. I mean, it's been able to work so far against some less effective strikers, like, Jessica Aguilar, who was nearing the end of her career. Rodriguez looked amazing. But I think against somebody that's a lot fresher, a lot quicker, somebody that has a lot more technical striking skill in Tisha Torres. I think Torres could look really good here. Even though she is giving up about 6 inches in height and reach. I just see Torres's speed being too much for Rodriguez to handle. I think Rodriguez is going to get really frustrated. She's going to be swinging at Torres and missing her wildly. And I think Torres can counter very effectively here if she, utilizes that part of her game. So, I think, this is definitely, Tisha Torres's fight to lose. I think that she wins a one-sided decision. So Torres is going to be my pick. Now moving all the way up to the heavyweight division. We have Ciryl Gane, who is 3-0, taking on Rafael Pessoa, who is 9-0. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Gane opened minus 380, the comeback on Pessoa plus 260. And right now, over at BetDSI, we are seeing Gane at minus 417, the comeback on Pessoa plus 315. So line markets have tightened up. More action coming in Gane's way. Of course, I mean, just if looking at these guys, first of all, on paper and just kind of glancing over at them, I mean, it's hard not to like Gane. I mean, both these guys are undefeated, of course. But, I mean, if you look at their physical attributes and physique, I mean, Gane having that Muay Thai background, I mean, he's basically a chiseled, strong, athletic-looking beast out there, man. I mean, he's big. He's 6'4". Pessoa, not, obviously not a small guy in his own right. But I'm saying physique-wise, I mean, Gane is the one that kind of is the – again, the bodybuilder type of frame that seems to fit and be the monster in those weight class, the kind of the UFC is looking for as far as marketability goes compared to the two. That's what I'm trying to spit out here out of the two. I mean, it's going to be Gane is going to be more the trendy side for sure. Of course, again, getting into his background, he's got a kickboxing background. As I mentioned, he's translated well so far in MMA, TKO heavyweight champion, which TKO in Canada, that's a pretty good respectable organization, obviously. So he's getting better and he's developing his game. He's light on his feet. I mean, extremely fast for how big he is. Honestly, it's pretty neat to watch him strike. He's definitely talented. Now, defensively, he does leave his hands low a little bit. So with somebody with a lot of power, which Pessoa does have a lot of power. So I think that he has to definitely be cautious in that regard. And obviously, Pessoa can obviously match him in, as far as length goes. I mean, I think Gon's going to have a few inches of pure reach on him, but Pessoa's not a small guy either. And he does have that power in the feet. I think, you know, most of his wins are obviously by KO for a reason. But if you look at Pessoa in this spot here, even though he does have that a power on the feet where he can end things, he's going to look to take this fight to the ground. He's going to want to, the speed differential here between him and Gane is going to be too much for him to handle. And I think he's going to want to look to try to utilize the easiest path to victory here. And that's getting Gane on his back and trying to exploit his ground weakness still. Because again, he's kind of evolving and he's still working on that. Now, both these guys are because the ground is not necessarily their strength, but I think if any edge at all for Pessoa, it's probably that, but I don't think it's going to be easy for him to take Gane down. I think Gane's athleticism is going to come into play. His takedown defense is going to be good enough that he's going to find his spots here. And again, the marketability side, and I think the matchmaking is going to play okay for the UFC in general, because I think Gane, again, has a bit more upside for the UFC, the heavyweight division. He's kind of guy they could push if he gets a couple quality wins and they bring him along the right way and keep on developing his game. We'll see where he goes from here. So there's definitely more upside for him than Pessoa, but this should be an interesting fight. I would not lay the chalk. I mean, these guys are way too raw still to be laying three or 400 on these guys, honestly. So I would stay away from Gane even as a bet. I think he should win this fight, but I don't trust him enough to lay 4-1. There's no doubt about that. So it's either Pessoa or pass. And to me, Pessoa isn't probably going to win this fight. So you stay away from it.
Yeah. Gane and Pessoa. This is a battle of two very dangerous heavyweights, but in terms of technical striking skill, Gane is so much better than Pessoa. You know, this guy has a very strong Muay Thai pedigree, and he's only been fighting professionally in MMA for a little over a year, debuting in 2018. This guy is dangerous, very, very powerful striker, very accurate, and he can utilize everything, being a Muay Thai specialist. So if this stays standing, I think Pessoa can get just wrecked, honestly. I mean, Pessoa's powerful. I mean, he has, he's fought under the LFA banner. He's picked up, several knockout victories in a minute. I mean, this guy is crazy dangerous, but he hasn't faced anybody with the technical striking skill of Gane. So yeah, he has a puncher's chance on the feet, but I really think Gane can light him up in the stand up just because, you know, there aren't a lot of heavyweights with the striking credentials of Gane that can move like him. You know, this is a very dangerous fighter. And The only real thing that we don't know about him is his ground game. That's the one thing I'm concerned about. Gone is what his takedown defense is like and what happens if he gets put on his back. Is he going to be able to work his way back to his feet? Can he keep fight standing? Now Pessoa is not exactly the most lethal takedown artist, but I can see him shooting for a takedown after he eats some of what, Gon's going to be dishing out. So that's something that to really keep an eye on here, because if this was a kickboxing match, Gon would absolutely obliterate Pessoa. I really think so. Pessoa just would have that big puncher's chance because he is super powerful. But, what this fight will boil down to is, will Gon be able to fend off a takedown attempt if it comes? Because I wouldn't be shocked to see Pessoa shoot for one after eating some punches. So, I think, Gon gets the better of Pessoa. I'm going to pick him to win, but I'm definitely going to be concerned about what his takedown and ground game looks like until we get a chance to see it. So my pick is Gon, but I am a little cautious here. Now, dropping down to the welterweight division, we have Alexei Kunchenko, who is 20-0, taking on Gilbert Burns, who is 15-3. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Kunchenko open minus 180, the comeback on Burns at plus 140. And right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Kunchenko minus 145, the comeback on Burns at plus 125. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, and there is two-way action coming in this fight as well. It's kind of been back and forth a little bit. This is another interesting one for sure, because obviously Burns stepping in here on short notice, up a weight class as well. He's fought at 170 before. And I mean, skill set, this is interesting and intriguing, because Burns is, I think, has never looked better in a lot of ways. I mean, the ground is where it's at for him. We all know that. I mean, he's one of the best grapplers in the sport on the ground, of course, ever to grace the octagon. I mean, he's at the high level, the elite of the elite as far as BJJ goes. But it's his overall skill that's getting a little bit better now. He's more of a threat on the feet as well. I mean, despite that hooker knockout loss, which shows you that he is getting a little bit wild and reckless at times as well, but he's gotten a lot better even since that. That was only, I believe, four or five fights ago. But his stand-up, he's getting more confident. He's definitely more on target, and his ability to finish fights and basically do damage on the feet now, it's never been better. So that combined with his grappling pedigree is something to deal with Burns right now. I mean, if he gets his wrestling to another level, man, the guy's going to be a force. His wrestling's really not that bad as it is, but it's going to be tough for him in this spot against Kunchenko. Again, moving up in weight, Kunchenko has really good takedown defense. He's more of a striking base fighter that gets top position if the fight does go to the ground. He's capable of obviously getting takedowns, controlling that way as well. So he should have a little bit of the strength edge in this fight. He's going to be at a little bit of a reach disadvantage, though. Burns is going to be a little bit of a taller fighter. And I think this is what worries me in this fight. I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Kunchenko. I'm going to say that off the rip, because again, if Burns can't get this fight to the floor, I think Kunchenko's steady pace and his durability overall can probably obviously win him on the scorecards, and he can probably beat Burns in that regard. But Burns is going to come into this fight kind of with nothing to lose, up a weight class, up short notice. He's going to kind of, I think, be a little bit carefree and almost reckless in his striking on the feet here, to the point where he's going to be dangerous. And if you're Kunchenko, you got to be definitely aware of that and be respectful of his power and what he's been able to do recently as well on the feet. So I think that that's kind of is my concern here. Maybe Burns rocks him on the feet, hops on his back or something like that, and gets a win here. So for me, even if it's a tight line, and I see Kunchenko's path to victory is kind of obviously keeping this fight upright, avoiding the ground game, and just not pointing and delivering punishment along the way on Burns as Burns kind of starts to slow down as the fight progresses a little bit, I could see Kunchenko winning on the scorecards. He's going to be tough to beat there, but I think Burns is going to be too dangerous for me to actually like and bet on Kunchenko at this price as well. So to me, what I'm trying to spit out here at the betting window, especially in this matchup here, you got to take the plus money with Burns. It's a dog or pass situation, because I think he is more dangerous and more capable. If it hits the scorecards, it'll be competitive, but I think Kunchenko wins. But outside of that, I think Burns is kind of going to be the one that finishes, if not more so than Kunchenko. Now, Kunchenko does have power. Obviously, Burns is a little bit chinny at times. He's been rocked in fights. We know that. So it's not out of the question that Kunchenko doesn't finish this either as the fight progresses, but I still think that Burns is more of the finishing threat in this fight here. So the pick for me is Kunchenko. I think I do like him. If it hits the scorecards, I think his fight to win or lose, but Burns is just too a little bit too much of a threat for me as far as finishing ability. So I'm going to stay away from it as a, from a betting perspective. As far as laying the chalk, it's a dog or pass situation.
And I'm going to show a little bit more confidence here. I really think Konchenko has a great shot. Burns moving up a weight class, taking this on pretty short notice. Definitely some red flags are popping up. And, I mean, historically, if you go back and watch Gilbert Burns when he loses or when he has struggles, it's been against guys with pretty quality striking backgrounds that have been able to keep fights upright. You know, Magomedov looked pretty good against him. Dan Hooker looked amazing against him. Burns struggled against Alex Oliveira in his third UFC fight, although Oliveira actually ended up getting the fight to the floor, ended up going to the floor, and Burns won there. But when he faces quality strikers, he struggles. And Konchenko is definitely a quality striker. I mean, this guy puts out a good pace. He has good accuracy. He's good defensively. So, you know, this is a guy that can really put it on Burns. Now, I don't know if he'll be able to finish Burns because, you know, Konchenko in his last fight was able to, he's gone a decision against Alves. So, I mean, he's taken on some guys that are some quality fighters and veterans, but hasn't really shown that impressive knockout power that I was hoping to see. But I can definitely see Konchenko just putting it on Burns and doing enough to easily win a decision and outpointing him on the feet. The only real concern, as Nick mentioned, is Burns does have some pretty good power. I don't think Burns can get the better of the feet, but Burns, if he clips Konchenko and hurts him, that could set up a finish because if Konchenko is hurt, he might not be able to stop a takedown. He might be not be able to stop Burns from jumping on his back or going to a dominant position and working for a submission because Burns' biggest advantage here is his ground game, but I just don't see him easily being able to get this to the floor. So the only way I think that he is able to get this to the canvas is if he hurts Konchenko first. And while that's possible, I just think Konchenko is too technically sound on the feet, and I think Konchenko just gets the better of Burns over the course of three rounds. So I'm going to pick Konchenko. I think he wins at least a decision here. Now, moving on to the main card and dropping down to the featherweight division, we have Enrique Barzola, who is 16-4-1, taking on Bobby Moffitt, who is 13-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Barzola opened minus 270, the comeback on Moffitt plus 230. Right now, looking over at BetDSI, Barzola's all the way down to minus 130, the comeback on Moffitt plus 111. That's not a mistake. Minus 270 plus 230, and right now minus 130 plus 111. Wow, that opener, all you guys that came in on Moffitt at plus 230 or anywhere around there, man, you got a good price. So congratulations and good luck to you all. That said, I still think it's going to be an awesome fight, but I mean, of course it's going to be close. It's going to be competitive. These guys are both obviously high level. I mean, and I'm really looking forward to this. This is another good scrap at 145 pounds. And there's no doubt about that. So with that said, Moffitt's going to have a little bit of size. Moffitt obviously excels on the ground more so than anything else. He's got that slick jiu-jitsu. I mean, he gets around your neck. I mean, he's, you know, obviously gifted and specializes in those kind of, unorthodox, but technical submissions. And he's able to pounce on that. And again, his wrestling's to the point where he can take most people down, control the fight in that regard. His stand-up's not bad for being a primarily a grappling heavy, more so type of fighter. I mean, his stand-up's to the point where he can definitely be serviceable and effective in most cases as well. It's going to be a tough fight, though, for Moffitt because anybody that faces Barzola is going to be in for a tough night. I mean, Barzola is one of these guys, obviously a former Ultimate Fighter winner. He's been improving fight by fight. He's been putting in the work. You can really tell. I mean, the guy has excelled at just getting better, being in all sorts of good fights in the octagon thus far into wars. He's been kind of, you know, off and on in close decisions that, you know, not all of them have went his way, obviously, as well. But, man, the guy, again, is tough as nails, and he's in every fight. So this is going to be a tough fight because he's got good takedown defense. He really has good wrestling pedigree in his own right. I mean, he's got good ground and pound, tough as nails. His stand-up is improving to the point where I think he is going to have a slight edge over Moffitt overall on the feet, especially in a three-round fight. These guys are going to be going back and forth, really, and hitting each other, connecting. I mean, it's going to kind of – the momentum is going to be shifting back and forth, I think, as these guys go. But I think it's going to be Barzola's takedown defense and his continued pace that he pushes in round two and round three that probably get him over the edge in this fight and win him the fight. So I don't think Moffitt finds a submission here. I don't think Moffitt is able to bully Barzola on the ground. So I think it is going to be competitive. All, like I said, it's going to take place in all aspects of the game, but I think Barzola is going to be the one that kind of just basically edges this out and grinds out a decision win here over Moffitt. So the pick is Barzola. Again, I am picking him. So with all that I said early on, I get it. But I mean, that's where you can see, obviously, I'm expecting a real competitive fight. That's why at plus 230, there's no question there was line value on that early money. But I do think Barzola gets it done. So where it's at right now, there might be a little bit of value actually on Barzola, but it is going to be a close fight. So at this point, I would probably, again, stay away from it, watch it, enjoy it, because it should be a heck of a fight.
I mean, realistically, the main difference between these two guys is that Barzola is the more well-rounded of the two. Both have strong wrestling games. Both have the ability to take fights to the floor. Both fighters are strong on the ground, but Barzola actually is pretty good on the feet. He started out as just a takedown guy for the most part, just exclusively focused on using his wrestling, but he's actually become a respectable striker. Somebody that I think has become mildly dangerous on the feet. And that's definitely not Moffitt's game. I mean, on the feet, Barzola is so much better in terms of accuracy, in terms of pace, in terms of striking defense. I mean, it's really not even close. So when this fight is standing, Barzola should have a massive edge. And then when it goes to the ground, I mean, Barzola actually has just as good takedown defense as Moffitt. Moffitt is the more accurate takedown artist, so I can definitely see Moffitt getting takedowns in this fight, but Barzola being so good on the ground, I would think that he would be able to scramble back to his feet and really force Moffitt to work to get takedowns. You know, Moffitt is the taller fighter here, so I think that, you know, he'll have to reach a little bit longer, stoop a little lower to get takedowns and get lower than Barzola's center of gravity. So I think Moffitt's really going to have to work, and I don't think that he'll be able to keep Barzola down for extended periods of time. And I think Barzola uses that wrestling in reverse well here and just goes to work on the feet. Barzola is, you know, it's just not even close how much better he is on the feet with all the improvements he's made in his stand-up. So I think that that is the deciding factor here, because otherwise for Moffitt to win, he's going to have to pretty much control two full rounds of this fight. And I just, maybe he can do it for one round, but I just don't see him doing it for the whole fight. So I think, maybe Moffitt starts strong, but I think Barzola wears him out a little bit and Moffitt gets tired from all the takedown attempts and Barzola ends up, just taking over. So my pick is going to be Barzola. I think the stand up will be the difference. Now, moving on to the middleweight division, we have Rodolfo Vieira, who is 5-0, making his UFC debut against Oscar Piahota, who is 11-1-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Vieira open minus 300, Piahota at plus 220. And right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Piahota still the underdog at plus 184, Vieira down to minus 227. So minus 227, plus 184, and it opened at minus 300, plus 220. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Line dropped, obviously, more action coming in Piahota's way. I mean, if you look at it, it's more of a back grappling versus grappling type of fighter. Piahota, obviously, being a little bit more than just a regular grappler, though, I think he's going to have, obviously, the stand-up advantage in this fight as well. He should have the advantage, at least. He's going to have a little bit of length, and he's going to have a little bit more experience as well. But I think the problem here is Piahota, again, I think more than anything else, he does excel on the ground. And here, you're dealing with Vieira that's undefeated. That's obviously where his best attributes are, is on the ground. His wrestling's actually looking pretty smooth. I mean, he's transitioning from the BJJ world into the MMA world pretty well with his, you know, with his grappling ability, obviously showcasing everything else. But his wrestling, he's got really nice double leg takedown. He's fast. He moves well on the feet. I think he obviously needs to throw a little bit more and to get better and more confident at his striking ability. But as far as being light on the feet, moving, countering well, looking in, closing that distance, taking the fight to the floor, Vieira already has a lot of good qualities about him in that regard. And again, with a world championship, pedigree that he has in BJJ. I mean, he's just an elite level grappler. So that's a problem for Piotr in this fight. I think Vieira can get this fight to the ground. And once he's on the ground, he's going to be able to at least control, if not finish on the ground as well. So he has that capability in him to do so. And I think that's where it's at basically with him right now. So I understand the early action coming into Piotr. Again, he's a little bit more battle tested. He's done relatively well thus far in the UFC, but coming off of a submission loss, getting taken to the floor and fighting a elite level jiu-jitsu practitioner like Vieira that's on his way up and on the rise, I think is going to be a problem for Piotr. So I really think it's Vieira's fight to win or lose. It's tough though, laying that kind of chalk against, you know, a guy like Piotr that has that experience. I get it. And I understand why the dog action did come in, because Vieira, again, there's still a lot of question marks surrounding him. So are you going to lay 3-1 at this point of his career over a battle-tested fighter like Piotr? I don't think it's a great idea for sure, but I do think Vieira should get this win, and this is going to be the best win of his career, because this is going to be definitely the highest level fighter he's ever faced. So my pick is Vieira. I think he does get the fight to the ground, and that's obviously his best advantage, and I think he utilizes his strength and gets it done. So the pick, Vieira, for me.
And I'm right with you. I mean, Piotr is the more well-rounded fighter of the two, with a strong grappling background and a, you know, being pretty solid on the feet as well. Having a nice, impressive knockout victory over Tim Williams in the UFC. But my issue with him is takedown defense. You know, he's a strong grappler, but he isn't able to control where the fight takes place, because he can't keep the fight upright if he wants to, and he is able to be put on his back. And that's honestly exactly what Rodolfo Vieira wants. Vieira is an extremely talented four-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion. You know, this guy is just an absolutely elite mixed martial artist, or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu grappler, in the prime of his career, honestly, at 29 years old. And while Piotr is a talented grappler, I just don't think that he'll be able to stop what Vieira is doing to him, because of his last fight. You know, Piotr took on Gerald Meerschaert, who is a very good ground fighter, but Meerschaert just dominated him on the ground, ended up getting a rear naked choke in the end of the second round. And I can see the exact same thing happening here. I mean, Piotr is going to be the better striker, but I don't think he keeps it upright long enough at all. I think Vieira takes us to the floor quickly, and then I think he just advances to a dominant position. And even though Piotr is a good grappler, Vieira is just so much better at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu than him. It's scary. So Vieira is going to have his tests in the UFC, but I don't think Piotr is going to be one of them. I just don't think the takedown defense is good enough, and I don't think the stand-up is effective enough to really take out Vieira before he gets taken down. So my pick is going to be Rodolfo Vieira. I think he takes Piotr down, and I think it's only a matter of time until he gets a submission victory. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Volkan Ozdemir, who is 15-4, taking on Ilir Latifi, who is 15-6 with one no contest. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Ozdemir open minus 165, the comeback on Latifi plus 125. Line's been bouncing around a little bit, but right now what you're seeing at BetDSI is minus 167 for Ozdemir, Latifi plus 137. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Two-way action coming into this fight. Again, it's been bouncing around, like I said. This is an awesome fight because you got two heavy hitters. You know that it's probably not going to disappoint as the fight progresses a little bit, because these guys will throw leather. I mean, it could be one of those type of fights, though, at the same time that ends up dragging out and hits the scorecards, and these guys respect each other too much. But I think once these guys get settled in, they're going to start throwing a little bit. And obviously, in this matchup here, I mean, like I said, with both these guys having finishing ability on the feet, both of them have knockout power. Ozdemir is going to have a little bit of size over Latifi. Ozdemir is going to be a little bit more of the busier fighter. He's hard to take down as well. Latifi, I think, has a pure edge in wrestling and a bit of a ground game edge over Ozdemir still. Obviously, that's one of his flaws, but it's not easy to take Ozdemir to the ground. And obviously, if you're not able to do that, then he's a handful to deal with, to say the least, on the feet as well. So this will go back and forth, and I think it's kind of a tough one, because Latifi, when he shows up and he's on, he's very hard to beat. I mean, like I said, with that speed, that athleticism that he has, that one-punch knockout power, I mean, he can end the night early for a lot of light heavyweights out there. But if he can't get in his groove, and if round one doesn't go kind of his way and he can't bully the individual that he's facing, a lot of times as the fight progresses a little bit, he starts to lose his rhythm. And I think Ozdemir is going to be the one that kind of stays more consistent and is the one doing a little bit more damage along the way. And if he hits the scorecards, I think he wins it. If there's a knockout, it realistically could go either way. But I just think that Ozdemir's size and his toughness overall is going to probably come through here. Again, I'm not disrespecting Latifi at all because he could definitely end this. And I should say this also. Ozdemir's been in some really good wars as of late, and he's been holding up okay for the most part. But it does bother me because that nose and the beatings that he's taken overall, I think is going to not getting any better. And he's even said that in interviews before that his nose is basically destroyed and he hasn't let it heal between fights enough. So that could come into play here. Obviously you get a broken nose, you can't breathe as well. And that does impact him at times. So that is one of my kind of side concerns here in this fight. But overall, I think it's Ozdemir's fight to win or lose, to be honest with you. I just think he's a better fighter in this matchup overall, because I think he's going to be able to dictate this fight more so than Latifi. So he should win this fight. So the pick is Ozdemir. Where the betting line is right now, as it keeps on kind of climbing, I would stay away from it. But anywhere between where it was below 160, obviously Ozdemir has a little bit of value. But when you're getting closer to 200, I would definitely stay away, because Latifi, you got to respect him, and he has enough capabilities, enough power to end the night quick. So the pick is Ozdemir for me, though.
And I'm right with you. Alireza Latifi is going to be dangerous. I mean, this guy has power. He has some pretty decent Brazilian jiu-jitsu skills, and he's an explosive athlete and crazy strong. So yeah, if this fight goes into the clinch, I think Latifi might be able to do something crazy, toss Ozdemir around a little bit, potentially. If it goes to the floor, I think Latifi would definitely have an edge after, the weakness Ozdemir showed with his ground defense against Cormier. And Ozdemir potentially could get clipped if Latifi is able to step in with a big bomb. But for the most part, I think Latifi has had some issues dealing with the size disparity. He does have an okay reach for the light heavyweight division, but Ozdemir is going to be about 4 inches taller. He's going to have the longer reach, and Ozdemir is the better technical striker. Honestly, I thought that Ozdemir did pretty well in the Reyes fight most recently. I thought that could have gone his way, and Ozdemir is definitely a lot better striker than we give him credit for. I mean, he's shown some those really nice glimpses of power to get some of the quick finishes and earn that initial UFC title shot. And while he has faltered lately, I definitely feel that he's kind of had some bad luck and, being on that 3-fight losing streak, because he definitely could have won that fight against Reyes with it being a split decision that didn't go his way. So with Latifi, he's had his issues against fighters that are solid technically, that he isn't able to utilize some of his strengths against. Latifi lost a decision most recently to Corey Anderson. He got knocked out by Ryan Bader. You go back, Jan Błachowicz was able to land a good body kick against him. Gegard Mousasi just outpointed him over the course of 3 rounds. So it just feels like when guys have those nice big physical advantages and Latifi is not able to get the ground going or is not the better striker, I don't think Latifi can get it done. Unless he steps in and really hurts Ozdemir, I think Ozdemir keeps him at the end of a jab. I think Ozdemir just outpoints him over the course of 3 rounds. And Latifi has shown some signs of slowing over the course of the fight as well, because he does expend a lot of energy trying to get those explosive attacks in. And if those don't work against Ozdemir, I think it's really going to be a tough night for him. So my pick's going to be Ozdemir. I think he does work strong from the outside here against Latifi and just keeps that flashing that left and right hand straight shots in Latifi's face. And it's going to make Latifi's, kind of looping attacks a little more and more ineffective. So Ozdemir's going to be my pick. I think he can win by decision or potentially knockout. Now dropping down to the featherweight division, we have Eduardo Garrigori, who is 12-0, taking on Humberto Bendine, who is 14-6. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Garrigori -120, Bendine -120. Exactly a pick'em was the opening line, and right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI is actually Garrigory minus 125, Bahanan Ape plus 105. Line margins have tightened up a little bit more actually coming in Garrigory's way. Again, another spot where it's been bouncing back and forth. Another pick-em type of fight for sure. Both these guys are talented fighters on the rise for sure. I mean, I think obviously Bahanan Ape, he has the UFC experience going for him. He's 24 years old. He's faced overall the better competition, obviously, because of the UFC experience that he has over Garrigory. Garrigory is stepping up here. He's the hometown guy. We should say that as well. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of motivation and interesting, aspects of this fight for him for sure. He's going to want to perform in front of his crowd, his hometown fans. And obviously the UFC is kind of high on this guy as well, giving him kind of a hometown showcase. But a lot of times the UFC, as we all know, likes to make things difficult for the hometown type of fighters and gives them a very tough challenge. And I think that's exactly going to be it here for Garrigory. But I've been impressed with him, man. I mean, what you've seen from Garrigory before his UFC debut, he's a very complete fighter. I mean, I think he has very good stand-up skill to the point where I think he's technical. He's accurate. He's got the knockout power to go along with it. I think he has decent wrestling to go along with really good jiu-jitsu. And if this guy gets on top of you, you should see how sharp his elbows and how fast he comes down with some thunderous strikes. I mean, this guy has nasty ground and pound as well. Anything on the feet that worries me a little bit from him is he could be maybe a little bit faster. He can move his feet a little bit more because he is a little hittable, but overall he has shown some toughness. And then his takedown defense does concern me a little bit as well, because I have seen him put on his back and controlled a little bit, but every time I've seen him kind of in a tough spot like that, he manages to scramble out of it. It's back in much better position. He reverses things and then starts to utilize his ground game, which is better than most of his opponents as well. So there's a lot to like about Garrigory. Now, the other side of things with Bahanan Ape here, I mean, the guy again has really displayed some pretty good skills so far in the octagon. I mean, obviously, he's more known for his highlight reel type of knockouts and finishes. I mean, he's capable with that length and that speed and that power he has and that unorthodox skill set on the feet. I mean, I think it's highlighted by his left leg. I mean, his left leg, his kicks are nasty, whether it's low to the body or to the head. The guy kind of rifles these out at you, and he's a southpaw, so he does have that going for him as well on the feet. So he makes it a little bit unorthodox and a little bit different for his opponents in most cases to kind of deal with. But again, he throws everything a little bit wild, and he does leave himself open. So I think Garrigory is a little bit more technically sound than Bahanan Ape, and I think he's going to be able to exploit that aggressiveness of Bahanan Ape. Now, Bahanan Ape is going to be dangerous for sure, and Bahanan Ape might even want to look for a takedown or two to get some top position in this fight, but I think Garrigory ultimately, as the fight progresses, he's going to be the one that kind of takes control of this fight. So I think Bahanan Ape's best round might be round one, but as it goes in round two, round three, I think Garrigory, I think he's going to be a little bit more consistent. He's going to be the one that ends up in top position or possibly gets a finish on the ground, or he wins on the scorecard. So for me, it's pretty clear. I think Bahanan Ape is going to be, again, the biggest test of Garrigory's career up to this point, but I think he's ready for it. I've been nothing but impressed with what I've seen thus far, and even though it's going to be a challenge, I think he gets the job done. So I wouldn't be surprised if Garrigory finishes this fight before it hits the scorecards, but if it does go to the cards, I like the fact that he's a hometown guy. That's not going to necessarily hurt him on the cards, and I think he can get it done despite that anyway. Obviously, I think he's just the better fighter, and he'll prove it on the cards. So the pick for me is Garrigory, and the price has a little bit of value as well.
And I'm right with you. I think Garrigory will get the job done. It seems like, you know, obviously with this being the Uruguay event, that Garrigory is the guy that has been kind of thrust into this spotlight for the UFC to get that big Uruguay win in front of the hometown crowd. You kind of saw it recently with Star Pauly with the last time they were in South America like this. So I think, Garrigory is a talented fighter. He's well-rounded. He has pretty good submissions. He's dangerous on the feet. He has power. This is, as Nick mentioned, definitely his biggest step up, having taken on somebody that's got multiple fights inside the octagon. But Bahanan Ape, even despite his experience, is still pretty raw. I mean, this guy is not particularly good on the ground. He also, while he does have some power, and that knee knockout victory over Martin Bravo was amazing, but for the most part, he still struggled. He took on Austin Arnett. He just got outworked over the course of three rounds. So, you know, he still has a long ways to go, in my opinion. And, you know, and Gabriel Benitez just destroyed him with a slam. So, this is a guy that is still a work in progress out of Peru, and is still, you know, definitely needing to add more experience to his game. So even though Garrigory is making his UFC debut, I actually think that this is a pretty good matchup for him. Now, Bandinet is pretty long, and he has a decent kicking game, and if he can stick on the outside and utilize that well, then he'll be dangerous. But I think Garrigori's going to close the distance. I think that he'll get some damage on the inside, on the feet, and then his biggest strength will be if and when this fight goes to the floor. Garrigori has some brutal ground and pound. He has some pretty good wrestling, and he has some decent submissions. So if and when this fight goes to the floor, Garrigori is going to be in really good shape. And I think that that's what he does here. I think Bandinet gets exposed on the ground again. I think Garrigori gets that top position, and I think the crowd's going to be just going absolutely bananas. And I think Garrigori doesn't just win, but I actually think he gets the finish here, possibly either submission or a ground and pound TKO. So my pick is going to be Garrigori. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the welterweight division, we have Vicente Luque, who is 15-6, taking on Mike Perry, who is 12-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Luque open -195, Perry +155. Right now, looking over at BetDSI, we are seeing Luque -217, the comeback on Perry +177. So line marks have tightened up a little bit more actually coming in Luque's way. A lot of people are surprised. I mean, Luque is definitely one of the best fighters, I think, right now. And he's been in the welterweight division kind of under the radar. But with the skill set the guy has, I mean, he's just a threat everywhere. He's got really good stand-up skill. He's got power on the feet, obviously. His submission game is off the charts as well. He's got good wrestling, good takedown defense. I mean, he is the complete threat in the welterweight division. He's faced high caliber competition. He can knock you out. And again, he can submit everything about him. You've got to love. So there's no question skill level. He's way above Perry at this point, because I think that, I mean, anywhere the fight takes place, Luque is better, right? It's just the part about Perry that makes him tough. And I've gained a lot of respect for watching him fight thus far in his UFC career. The guy's gotten better. He's put the work in. Of course, he's tough as nails, man. The guy is so hard to get out of there. He's in your face. He's got that knockout power. Obviously his striking is a bit underrated in his own right. And he's just, like I said, that toughness and his ability to just kind of keep on coming at you despite when it is in the time or how much damage he's absorbed. That makes it tough. I mean, it's unbelievable what Perry could kind of dish out and at the same time absorb at the same time. So I like what I see with Perry, is what I'm trying to say. He's probably being underrated in this aspect. But if you're looking at the betting window, you're thinking to yourself, man, this is almost too easy of a fight for Luque. That's what worries me though here as well. So, I mean, I think Luque is pretty much, like I said, better in all areas. I think Perry can hang with him here. As far as maybe in round two and round three, Luque does have a tendency to slow up. So if Luque can get rid of Perry early on, I think this is going to start to become a tougher fight for him in round two and round three as well. And the scorecards, as we all know, I never trust the judges. So if it's mildly competitive in round two and round three, maybe Perry can steal it that way. So that's what I think. I mean, he does have a kind of a path to victory here. And again, I'm just kind of scratching my head, playing devil's advocate, trying to find a way for Perry wins. And I think it's his toughness, and maybe he starts taking over if he does. But that said, I can't pick him in this fight. I just think it's a head-scratcher type of fight. So for me, it's Luque or pass in this situation. I mean, but at the betting window right now, as the line keeps on crawling up, I'm going to respect Perry, and I'm probably going to stay away from it. Like I said, maybe throw Luque in a parlay or whatnot, but I wouldn't make it a big parlay at this point, because I think we are probably missing something with Perry. He's coming off of a pretty decent performance against solid competition, obviously, in Oliveira as well. And I think he is going to perform relatively well in this fight and probably make it closer than we all anticipate. So I'm going back and forth on this fight because, like I said, to me, it's a head scratcher. Luque is just by far better. I'm going to pick him to win. But as this line climbs up, just be careful out there at the betting window.
Yeah, overall, I just feel like Luque is the more well-rounded fighter of the two. Now, Mike Perry is dangerous. Especially, you know, on the feet, he is going to be a threat. In terms of striking defense, both guys are pretty similar. Offensively, though, Luque is much more dangerous, very accurate striker. This guy he's accurate and with power. So that's where Perry is going to have to be careful because, I mean, both guys are pretty durable. Although I would say Perry has the slightly worse chin, even though he hasn't officially been knocked out of the UFC. We've seen him hurt. We've seen him really hurt outside the UFC before coming in. So, I do feel like with Luque's power that, he can definitely potentially be that first guy to finish, Perry with strikes. That being said, Perry's powerful too. And Luque, you know, he spent so much energy trying to take out Brian Barberina most recently. And, You know, he ended up finally getting it done, but I mean, he got exhausted in the fight. He left holes defensively in the pursuit of the finish, and he ended up getting rocked in that fight. So, I mean, it was a crazy, crazy fight, but it did show some potential holes to exploit in Luque's game. So, and then obviously Luque, you know, dominated against Kranz, but it's the Barbarina fight I'm a little more worried about because, you know, he was so intent on getting the finish that he left openings for an opponent that maybe had more power. If Barbarina was more powerful, he possibly could have clipped him and finished him. So that being said, you know, I think Luque pushes a stronger pace than Perry, and then that accuracy is going to be really big deal. On the ground, Luque definitely is the better ground fighter. Luque has a much better submission game. Luque is much more dangerous on the canvas with ground and pound. I think if Perry shoots for a takedown like he did against Cerrone, it would be a massive mistake because Luque could definitely submit him on the canvas. So I think for Perry to win, he needs to keep this fight upright, and he needs to really work rely on that defense, because defensively these guys are pretty similar. It's offensively where Luque has the big edge on in the stand-up. So I think if Perry can kind of counter a little bit, that could definitely be to his advantage, because if Luque's pursuing the finish, he definitely leaves some holes there. But overall, I just feel Luque's the too well-rounded here. I think he can win it on the feet, on the ground. And Perry, it really is more relying on either tiring Luque out and taking over late or landing that big shot. And while those are possible, and I'm not going to say that this is going to be a one-sided shellacking, because Perry could definitely win this fight, but I just think Luque's too well-rounded and has that ability to win standing and on the ground. And I just like the fact that he is a little bit better than Perry on the feet in general. So I'm going to side with Vicente Luque. I think that he can win a decision, but I think that there's a very real chance that he is the first guy to knock out Mike Perry. Now, moving on to the main event of the evening in the women's flyweight division, we have the champion, Valentina Shevchenko, who is 16-3, putting her belt on the line against the Girl-rilla, Liz Carmouche, who is 13-6. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Shevchenko minus 600, Carmouche plus 400 was the opening line. It's been sitting out a while, and right now what you're seeing over at BetDSI, kind of a big swing, as we're seeing Shevchenko minus 1,111, the comeback on Carmouche, plus 698. So 700 plus 700 is the comeback now. Needless to say, everybody came in Shevchenko's way. Needless to say, that's probably the right way. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Carmouche. She's a very tough fighter, obviously. She's comes from that wrestling background. She's developed her striking skill, and she's a threat on the feet. Has a submission skill to go along with that wrestling. I mean, she was so close. If you look back at the Ronda Rousey fight, how, you know, how close she really was of getting that sub in, and maybe that could have changed complexion of the sport. I mean, so she's had her moments. She's been in the spotlight several times. So this title fight is not going to be anything that she's, I think, not prepared for as far as mentally and physically. I mean, like I said, she's a strong fighter. She's faced Shevchenko in the past. Obviously, she has a controversial win over her. That was a long time ago. I'm not even getting that fight, though, because you could throw that out the window. Shevchenko is so much of a better fighter than she was when they first fought. And same thing with Carmouche. I mean, this is just a totally different fight. But that said, I mean, I don't see an area Carmouche can exploit Shevchenko. Even the wrestling here, Shevchenko might even get top position in this fight. That's how crazy that is. I mean, Carmouche obviously has the advantage in most areas, against most people, I should say, in the wrestling aspect of things. And that's probably her path to victory here, is trying to get Shevchenko down, trying to control her, maybe get her back, trying to submit her. Shevchenko can possibly be vulnerable in that situation, but I think she's too good. She's honed her defense and her ground awareness enough that I think she's just going to be a nightmare matchup for Carmouche. Obviously, on the feet, it's a big discrepancy. Shevchenko is just going to pick her apart. Carmouche can be a threat. She's got some power on the feet for sure, but Shevchenko will be a lot more devastating on the feet to deal with. I think Shevchenko, obviously, on the ground, she can submit Carmouche possibly as well. I mean, again, to me, in my opinion, Shevchenko is the best female pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. I know you can argue the case with Nunes. She's done amazing things as well. But I think the difference there is, honestly, Nunes' size is the difference. We've seen that kind of play out a little bit in their matchups, but that's a whole other, you know, talk for a different day, I guess, at this point. But right now, there's nobody in this division that I think is going to dethrone Shevchenko. So I'll cut to the chase. I mean, Shevchenko probably finishes this fight before it does hit the scorecards. I mean, that's how good this lady is above all the females on the roster right now at 125 pounds. She is the best. So barring a crazy, crazy haymaker or like I said, a submission, if she catches something, kind of a miracle type of finish for Carmouche, this time she's not going to beat Shevchenko. Shevchenko's going to be way too much for her. So at the betting window, of course, I think maybe if you could find something like Shevchenko inside the distance or something along that line, or maybe not going the distance for this fight, that's kind of the way you bet it. As a TV bet more than anything else, nothing too serious because it's hard to bet this fight at the betting window right now. So the pick is Shevchenko, but the true value yet to be determined. Obviously, it's not on the straight side of it at all. You got to stay away from that side. Find a prop or something of that liking for you guys out there more than anything else. So pick Shevchenko, though.
Yeah, there's really not much to break down here. I know that Carmouche won against Shevchenko before, but that was so early in Shevchenko's career. I mean, it literally was back in 2010, so 9 years ago, basically. And it was a doctor stoppage. So in that fight, Carmouche was able to get some takedowns. She was able to land some strikes and got the win. But Shevchenko has grown so much since then. She didn't even make her UFC debut until 5 years later. And since then, I mean, she has become so talented. She's so well-rounded. Shevchenko is an elite striker, one of the best strikers in the world for female fighters. And then to balance that out, she has elite ground game now. She doesn't really have wrestling, but she has very good judo skills and throws and an extremely dangerous, submission game with arm bars and chokes and you name it. She's just a lethal fighter and she's capable of beating anyone anywhere at this point. So, she's just a very, very different fighter than the one that Liz Carmouche fought 9 years ago. And this time around, I mean, Shevchenko is just going to destroy Carmouche on the feet. I mean, Carmouche has made some improvements in her stand-up, but I mean, the difference in skill level is so drastic. I mean, Jessica Ai is a better striker than Liz Carmouche, and Jessica Ai got knocked out cold, one of the most brutal knockouts we've ever seen in a woman's fight ever, in Shevchenko's last title defense. So, on the feet, Shevchenko is just going to be head and shoulders above. And really the only chance that Carmouche has is to get takedowns and get top position. And while she may be able to get the occasional takedown, I mean, her wrestling, it relies a lot more on physical strength than actual technique. And I think that Shevchenko has the technique to avoid those takedowns. Shevchenko has evolved so much now in her UFC career. Her takedown defense is actually pretty elite. The only person that I can remember taking her down and keeping her down was Amanda Nunes the first time they fought. And she was only able to do that for about two rounds before getting tired. So I think in a five-round fight, Shevchenko just has the pace, the conditioning, the technique, and Carmouche just, there's really no serious edge here. I just don't think that she can get the takedowns over the course of five rounds to win a decision because I definitely don't see her getting a stoppage. So I think Shevchenko gets the job done. I see Shevchenko remaining your UFC women's flyweight champion. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC on ESPN Plus 14. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMA OB Premium on Twitter because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.